Welcome to Bible Foundations. It's a joy to have you with us again today as we continue our study of God's Word, heralding the Deliverer that has been promised right from the beginning of time, right from Genesis 3:15, the promise to Eve in the garden as she was standing there under condemnation for her sin, for her disobedience to God. God gives the promise of one who would deliver all of mankind from their penalty of eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. This conqueror of Satan would be born of a virgin. And now we see the fulfillment of that in the New Testament as we're continuing our study of God's angel revealing to Mary the truth of that which is about to be accomplished in her and through her. She's told in verse 31 of Luke chapter 1 that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Jesus. He would be great and would be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever over the house of Jacob, forever. And of his kingdom there'll be no end. Mary asked the question, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The father of Jesus the man was God himself. This was a fulfillment of the promise of God because the deliverer had to be a perfect one. You see, the one who could satisfy God's holiness had to be one that was born without sin. And therefore, he could not be born of a human father. He would be born sinless. You see, no descendant of Adam is holy or righteous. Every person in the world has inherited Adam's sin. And we're all sinners because the sin of Adam has been passed down to us from our very ancestors. Yes, even from Adam, our ancestor, through our parents and our grandparents, right down to us, you see. We stand in need of a Savior. But the one who was to be the deliverer had to be sinless. You remember that a lamb that was to be brought as a sacrifice had to be a perfect lamb. Even at the time when a lamb was provided for Abraham, to Abraham, in the replacement of Isaac, instead of Isaac's life being taken on the altar, a ram was found caught in the bushes by its horns. Had it been caught by its fleece, no doubt in trying to get away from that which was holding it, it would have torn its skin, and it would have not been a perfect lamb. God required a perfect sacrifice, a perfect deliverer, you see. That's the only thing that could meet God's holiness and his standard of perfection. Jesus was the perfect Son of God, holy and righteous and sinless. God is holy. Jesus, Son of God, is holy without sin. Now God confirmed this promise to Mary in verse 36 as he tells her of another phenomenal thing that's happening. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth," you know, the one that's too old to have a child, "she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now put yourself in Mary's position. It was impossible for a virgin to have a child, just as it was impossible for Elizabeth, the mother of John, to have a child in her old age. Nevertheless, With God, all things are possible. You see, God can do anything. God created the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground, and God gives life to every person. It was not difficult for God to give this child to Mary without the baby having a human father, and neither was it hard for God to give Elizabeth a child in her own age, in her old age. You see, God can do anything. He can do whatever he wants to do, and that's what he's telling us he wanted to do, and he did it. You see, man must have faith in order to please God and be saved. We must believe the record that God has given us all the way from the beginning of time. No one else was there who knew what was in the hearts and the true condition of the people. God knew. God had it written down, and he told us that the things that are impossible with man are possible with him, because he's not limited to our human understanding, or is he limited to our human bodies. He doesn't he doesn't have himself limited to the earth and all of the things that are necessary for a human being to live on the earth. God is more than we can comprehend. So we accept by faith the things that he says happen, because they did happen, and there's no other explanation for them than the explanation that God gives us himself. Oh, I love Mary's response in verse 38. Mary says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You see, Mary was a believer. She believed the record of the promise deliverer, the promise of the one that was to come to save them from the consequence of sin and death. Mary trusted in the Lord and accepted that it was God's will for her to be the mother of the Savior. Who was the Savior to be? Well, his name was Jesus, the one announced in the Garden of Eden, the descendant of David, the deliverer, the Savior, the Holy Son of God, the Holy Son of God who was God the Son, God in human body, the holy, sinless Son of the holy, sinless God. Oh, my friend, the deliverer was provided by God himself. The deliverer was God himself, holy and without sin, and therefore able to meet the standard that God required. That standard, perfect obedience, sinlessness, righteousness, no personal agenda, but absolute honoring and totally glorifying to the cause and the purpose and the will of God the Father. Now the record of our studies together from the Word of God, beginning in the book of Genesis, show us that what God promises, that he will do. You see, he's faithful. He never changes. He never varies from his purpose and intent. And when he makes an announcement, you can count on his announcement coming to pass. That's what God's character shows us. He just keeps showing us himself in his faithfulness. No matter how difficult, no matter how impossible it may seem, no matter if it takes thousands of years to bring it to pass, God will fulfill every single promise right down to the very last detail. Through the angel of the Lord, God had revealed to Zacharias in the temple as he was offering the incense that he would be the promise, that he would be the father of the forerunner of the Savior, the forerunner of the deliverer, you see, and his son would be named John. Now, God brought that to pass. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. God did what he promised Zacharias, and Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth had a son, and they named him John, just as the angel had instructed them. God kept his promise. Do you remember other places where God has given promises during our studies in Bible Foundations? Well, you remember his warning to Adam and Eve? He said that if you sin, you will surely die. And they did die, my friend. They died in their relationship to God immediately. Their life source was cut off in their relationship with God just as surely as a branch that's cut off from a tree, just as surely as that living Christmas tree that sat in your living room last Christmas was cut off from its source of life. It looked good, you see, but it was cut off from its source of life. So were Adam and Eve dead to God, cut off from their source of life, who was God himself. God kept his promises. They died spiritually and they died physically. God kept his promises in the warnings to the people of Noah's day. He said that in 120 years, I'm going to send rain, and it's going to rain. Noah, get the ark built. And Noah preached, a preacher of righteousness, warned the people that the only way to God was God's way. And sure enough, the day came when Noah and his family, after the animals, entered the ark, and God shut the door. And the Lord indeed destroyed everyone and everything that was outside of the ark. God kept his promises to Abraham to give him his descendants. And we see that now as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is turned to Israel by name, and he's multiplied to 70 people in the land of Egypt under Joseph, and then they grow in that period of time. And God builds a nation out of 70 people By the time that 400 years had passed, there were over 2.5 million of them, and Moses is raised up in answer to the cries of the people. God speaks to Moses and says, "Go and deliver my people." You see, God kept his promises to Joseph. Joseph is one that endured great hardship to fulfill the promises of God. Joseph didn't necessarily know what was going on, but you know, he believed the promises of God. God had given him dreams, and those dreams came to pass. He was the ruler in Egypt when his family was brought down into that country, and because of his being in that position, God saved them as a nation and then prospered them to the time of Moses. God keeps his promises, my friend. Then we see God's promises to Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and bring them back to Mount Sinai. That's what happened. His promise to the Israelites was to preserve them. And even though through the final plague, they would be preserved when God sent the death angel out and all of the eldest of the nation of Egypt were killed, even the eldest cattle. But those who had come to God, God's way, believing him, God preserved them. They had applied the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of the house. And when the death angel went over, God kept his word and took the eldest son of every home in Egypt. But there where the blood was applied to the families of Israel, God took not one. They were all spared because they believed the promises of God, and God kept his word. God kept his promises to bring the children of Israel back to the promised land, the land that he had given to Abraham as the promise and all of his seed. And he gave his warnings to Israel and Judah that they would be taken captive if they did not repent of their sins, even after they'd been great in the kingdoms of this world. But just exactly what happened is exactly what God had promised. You see, God is in the habit of keeping his promises. The record shows it, my friend. He always does what he says. And now we see that he's kept his promise to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias believed God, and God credited that to his account as righteousness. You see, man must have faith in order to please God and be saved. That's why God dealt with Zacharias as he did. He believed in the coming deliverer. Let's look in verses 67 through 79 and see what Zacharias said when he realized that his son was born, and how he blessed God and made known the promises of God's Savior that was just about to come to deliver mankind from Satan and sin and death. Verse 67 says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." That's another one of those messianic promises, my friend, the promises of God that were being fulfilled right here before the eyes of Zacharias and before our eyes too. Verse 70, "And as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." And now in verse 76 he speaks concerning his son, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord and prepare his ways." Do you remember the promise in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1? "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, as the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now we see Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit, repeating this very promise, that his son would be the one that would be the preparer of the way, of the deliverer, the Savior of the world. "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Zacharias knew very soon God's promised Savior was coming to deliver mankind from Satan, sin, and death. Zacharias believed the promises which God had given the prophets. God the Holy Spirit used Zacharias' knowledge of the Old Testament to bring this message that these promises were indeed about to be fulfilled. You see, each one of us must be delivered from Satan, from the sinful things that control our lives, and from the death and separation from God. That's why God planned to send the Savior into the world. God is faithful. He never changes. Read again verses 72 to 75. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Abraham was the father of the nation Israel. You remember that before Abraham went to live in Canaan, God had promised him that one of his descendants would be the Savior. Genesis 12:3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Even though thousands of years had passed since God made that promise to Abraham, God had not forgotten. God always does exactly what he says. Zacharias believed that man must have faith in order to please God and be saved, and he believed the words that God had communicated to him through the prophets. He believed God was communicating with man all through the Old Testament, and you and I need to believe it too. We see the record here as evidence, as we've just reviewed, and we see that Zacharias is told once again, tells us once again in verse 76, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." God the Holy Spirit gave this message to Zacharias, and Zacharias believed him. Through the Holy Spirit, Zacharias was speaking about his son John. And John was going to be the prophet who would prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. He would announce to Israel that the Savior would soon come to them. The Deliverer, the Savior for whom John was to prepare the way, was the Lord himself. Jesus Christ is God, my friend. No ordinary man could deliver us from Satan, sin, and death. The Lord is the great Deliverer of all who will trust him. Who was it that had delivered Noah and his family from the flood? Who delivered Isaac from the death and provided the ram to die in his place? Who delivered Lot from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Who delivered Joseph from the prison in Egypt? Who delivered the Israelites from the slavery in Egypt? Who saved the Israelites from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea? And who was it that delivered the Israelites from death by providing them with water and food right in the middle of the desert? You see, the Lord alone is the great Deliverer. There is no other Savior but the Lord. You'll remember, as we read in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, it says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior." It is God himself that can save us from the power of sin and Satan and death. It is only God himself who can save us from the power of Satan and sin and death, my friend. The Lord is the great Deliverer of all who will trust him. Now, people of our day like to think that they're the ones who are strong and important. We like to boast in our day that we are the most popular, or the smartest, or the most talented, or the greatest, or the richest, or the strongest. Satan wants us to think about all these things because he doesn't want us to listen and believe God. He doesn't want us to listen to what God has said. He doesn't want us to believe what God has said. You see, even if a man were known all over the world and had great intelligence and talent that had won many awards and had a great deal of money and even ruled as president or king, he could still not deliver himself from the penalty of his sins. Only God can do that. He is the only deliverer, the only savior of men. Oh, my friend, do you see the character of God here? He is loving and merciful and gracious, and only he can do it, and only he is doing it. He now is manifesting or making himself known through John, who is preparing the way before him. God is holy and righteous. But make no mistake about it, my friend, the penalty of death for sin is not waived. He demands death as the payment for sin. Zacharias said in his prophecy here that when the Savior came, he would show his people how their sins could be forgiven. That's what he promised, how our sins could be forgiven. It's in verse 77 in Luke chapter 1. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. That's God's promise. You see, God cannot and will not forgive sins unless the price for sin is paid, unless the full price of sin is paid. And the full price of sin, the payment for sin, is death, my friend. And the punishment for sin is separation from God forever. How then could sin be paid for? How can sinners be forgiven and be saved from everlasting punishment? Zacharias said that the Savior would make all that very clear and plain. Let's go on and see how that happens. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These scriptures tell us that the Deliverer would come like the rising sun in the morning, to give light to them that sit in darkness, to give life to them that sit in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How would you feel if you went for a walk in the woods and got lost? When the sun went down, you would not only be lost, but you wouldn't be able to see where you were. You'd be very eager for the sun to rise in the morning, wouldn't you, so that you could find your way back. You see, in a similar way, Adam and Eve's sin has put all of us into darkness. They had been very safe in the Garden of Eden because they depended on God for everything, and he gave them everything they needed. But when they sinned, their sin was separated from God. They were cast out of the garden. Now they were in the dark, so to speak, in constant danger of Satan's attack. All of their children and all their descendants, including you and me, were born in the darkness of sin. But God was making a way out of that darkness, my friend. Zacharias said the Deliverer would come into this world to be light to all people. The Deliverer would come just as the sun rises after a dark night and gives light to all people everywhere. How many suns give light to this earth? Only one, my friend, the same sun that gives light over all the world. How many deliverers did God promise to send into the world? Only one, my friend. Only one deliverer to rescue mankind from his darkness, from his sitting in the shadow of death. The shadow of the sentence of death that rests upon all men, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that come short of the expectations of the righteous and holy one. God did not promise to send different deliverers, one for us and one for another people in other parts of the world. God only promised one deliverer who would make it possible for us, all of us, to come to God. And he would bring light to the whole world like the rising sun. Verse 80 tells us, and the child, that's John, grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. This forerunner of the Savior, the Deliverer, was John, whom we know as John the Baptist. He lived in the desert from the time that he was young until it was time for him to be revealed as that forerunner of the Christ, of the Savior of the world, the forerunner of the Deliverer. John believed God. He knew that man must have faith in order to please God and be saved, and that man could only come to God according to God's will and plan. John believed God. He knew that he was a sinner, but he came to God with the animal and blood sacrifices. He trusted in God to save him from the everlasting punishment that had been promised. John trusted in the coming deliverer, and John was going to be the final prophet to announce to Israel the coming of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the further promises of God concerning the deliverer, who is Jesus. You see, we see that God is faithful and he's never changed his mind. Turn over in chapter 1 of Matthew and read with me verses 1 and 2. The book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Do you find the genealogies of the Bible boring? Oh, my friend, they're anything but boring. They give us an accurate historical account of how the promises of God came to pass just as God said they would. He makes the promise back in Scripture that Abraham would be the descendant or the ancestor, that is, of the deliverer. And now we see the fulfillment of it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Clear down to David, we see the further recording in this genealogy showing us exactly the lineage of Jesus Christ, the son of God, the son of David, being now ushered into the world as the Savior of mankind. It was Jesus, the coming deliverer, who was the descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. God had promised that the deliverer would be from their families, you see. For hundreds of years, God had given his promises through the prophets, these messages about the coming Savior. Now God had planned everything that would happen to the Savior of men before he came into the world. And we find the recordings of what God had planned would happen and had predicted it happened through the previous prophets in the Old Testament. And we see a record of them in Isaiah and Hosea and Psalms and Zechariah and the Psalms and many other places throughout Scripture. We see several scriptures in several different places, many scriptures in many places, if you will, showing us who David's descendants would be. And this is the descendant known to us as the son of David, Jesus Christ, the deliverer, God the Son, and God who is revealing himself to us in Jesus as the Son of God, God himself becoming our deliverer. Now, as we look at these Old Testament prophecies concerning the deliverer, we'll see that many of them are situated in the context of another subject. Very often, prophecies refer to an event that would take place immediately as well as an event that was to take place hundreds of years later. That has happened consistently in the Scripture. You see, the first fulfillment often came to pass in the lifetime of the prophet who wrote it down, showing the people in his day that the prophet was truly a prophet of God, because what he had said had come true, just as he had prophesied. The prophets themselves did not know exactly how these prophecies would be fulfilled. They simply spoke and wrote down the messages that God gave them. But looking back, we can see that these particular details of these prophets had their exact fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Let's look at one example in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with just judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now we've just read in Matthew 1:1 that this Savior, Jesus the Christ, would be the descendant of David. This directly corresponds with Isaiah 9 verse 7. We see here the prophecy and the fulfillment. God keeps his word. He never changes. You can rely on him to keep his promises to you and redeem you from the power of sin through the deliverer. Oh, my friend, once again, the promises of God give us hope in the hopelessness of our sinful condition. Join us again on Bible Foundations as we continue the understanding of that hope.